Luke chapter 1. But let me tell you funny first. Is that okay? All right. A doctor and a lawyer were talking to each other outside of their offices one day. And as people passed by, they kept asking the doctor for medical advice. That's like people passing, walking by pastor, you know. It's like, man, you could be counseling all day, right? And after a while, the people finally left, and exasperated, the doctor looked at the attorney and asked him, how do you keep people from asking you legal questions outside of the office? He smiled, and he said, that's easy. When they ask me questions, I send them a bill the next day. So the doctor thought about this all night long, and the next day, still uneasy about it, he finally decided to go ahead and make up the bills and send them out to all of those who asked him questions outside of the office the day before. And as he went to his mailbox to send them out, he opened it and found inside was a bill from his lawyer. The same lawyer friend that he asked that question the day before. All right. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Then I want to look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke 1 and verse, I think it's, I don't know what it is. Luke 1. Let me find it. I think it's 46 and somewhere. 46 and 47. Yeah, 46 and 47. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. In verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And what I want to talk to you from those verses, springboarding, and just ask you this. Where's your focus? Where is your focus? Here, we see that we're going to walk in health and prosper even as our soul prospers. But it says in Luke 1, 46 and 47, my soul does magnify the Lord. And we shared about this earlier, about magnifying the Lord, but I just want to springboard from that and just ask you a question. Where's your focus? What are you focusing your time on? What are you focusing your mental energy on? Because that's going to determine the degree of your prosperity and your health and everything else that you want to receive from God. You can't receive from God with your focus on someone else other than Jesus and other than God. Do you understand? If you got your focus on your problems, you got your focus on the symptoms, you got your focus on other people, you got your focus in the wrong place, it's going to create a dam that blocks the life flow from your spirit. See, after you're saved, how many of you are born again? Okay. After you're saved, you receive from God from the inside out. On the inside of you, you've got everything that you need in your born-again spirit man. And receiving from God is real simple. It's not out here, God, please come do something for me. It's the life that's on the inside of you making its way out. But many times we've got gates or a dam blocking it because our focus is in the wrong place. Do you understand? Are you tracking with me? It's like you've got on the inside of us, Jesus in Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in." Well, he's talking to Christians there. So where is Jesus at, and what door is he wanting in? If he's talking to Christians, he's not talking to unbelievers there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where's he at? Where's he standing? He's in our spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He's in your spirit when you're born again. He's not out here somewhere. Everybody say, Jesus is in my spirit. I'm one with him. If he's standing after you're saved, he doesn't jump in and out of your heart. If he's saying to Christians who he's joined with, and he's in their spirit, and he's knocking, he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where is he? He's not on the outside. He's in your spirit. And what door is he knocking on? Your soul. He said, I want in. What does that mean? It implies there's some doors closed. How many of you know when you confessed your sins, not when God found out about it? So, you know, we compartmentalize our lives, and we've got all these dirty laundry drawers of our soul. I mean, men do anyway. I don't know about so much about women, but we compartmentalize and we sweep everything under the rug. But Jesus said, he said, I want in. Well, oh, you're already in, Jesus. No, he wants in every area of our soul. So the gates or the doors of our soul, he wants open. Amen? And in order for that to happen, our focus has got to be on the Lord. When we focus on him, the doors, zoop, open. The gates open, zoop. If our focus is somewhere else, it goes boop, zoop, boop, zoop, boom. And what Jesus wants is zoop, not boop. That's not scriptural, but I just make my own sounds. Praise God. I want you to look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And so he's telling us here that he says, look, don't be anxious for anything. What happens when you're anxious and you're worried and you're fretting and you're troubled about all kinds of things? It's boop. Are you listening to me? What happens when you're not thankful? God, I just don't know why. It's taken so long. I just don't understand. You know, I hear testimonies about people being healed, and I don't know why it takes so long. And I had this prayer, and it hadn't come to pass yet. Don't you care? Boom. He said, if you're going to pray, he said, do it without anxiety. Do it without worrying. In other words, instead of worry, pray. And thank him. Amen? Get your focus off of your problem. And let me tell you something else. Get your eye off the clock. Get your eye off the calendar. There's a big problem in the body of Christ, people giving prophetic words about times of when it's going to happen. What happens if you give that prophetic word and you put a time frame on it, and then, you know, 12 o'clock strikes, and that day comes, and that day passes, and you don't see the answer. People just boop. They get downcast. They stop thanking God. They stop looking to God. They stop focusing. Where is your focus? If you want to receive the answer to your prayer, you're going to have to get your focus off the calendar, off the clock, and get your mind on the Lord. You're going to have to get your mind off of people and what they've said, what they've done. Nobody can stop you from receiving from God but you. I'm talking about receiving from God today, the answers to your prayer, the thing that God put in your heart that you're believing Him for. He said, look, when you pray here, don't be anxious about anything. Stop sweating it. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. And then be thankful. Stop complaining, whining, belly aching. Why is it taking so long? God, I don't know. That's what the disciples did when Jesus told them to get in the boat. Remember? Get in the boat. You're going to go to the other side. We're going to go into the other side. They got in the boat. It took faith for them to get in the boat because they knew they knew the signs of the weather, and they knew probably there was some kind of storm, but this was a big storm. We've been in the lake. That was where that storm happened. And now water was filling their boat. What was Jesus doing? He was fretting, wasn't he? Oh God, you told me to tell them to get in the boat and look at the water. And no, Jesus, what was he doing? He was at peace. The peace that passes all understanding was on him. But what were they doing? Lord, don't you care? God, don't you care? We're perishing. Man, guys, it's so easy. We believe God and we hear wonderful messages here, and then we go out and life hits us, a storm hits us, or God tells us to get involved soul winning or get involved with a children's ministry or whatever, and then somebody tells you they don't like what you're doing. Or you have all kinds of opposition. But listen, guys, whenever God tells you to do whatever He asks you to do, keep your focus on the Lord. Not on the storm, not on the waters of sickness or the waters of poverty or the waters of whatever that seems to be flooding your boat right now. And then, you know, that's what they were attributing to God, that Jesus said He didn't care. And that's what that. See, I'm helping you with your problem. So many times, things don't happen the way we think they're happening. Didn't Jesus tell them to get in the boat? Didn't He probably know there was going to be some stuff they were going to deal with? But He also saw to the other end, the other side. When they finally got to the other side, that was where the demoniac was healed. See, on the other side of your storm, where God tells you to go, there's supernatural power and ministry going to happen there. But so many times we're obeying God. We start to tithe and give, and then the enemy sends a financial storm to us. Oh God, don't you care? Man, your focus is in the wrong place. You're focusing on the waters of poverty. You're focusing on the problem. Are you listening to me? He said, when you pray, be anxious about nothing. And how do you do that? You start being thankful. Father, I thank you in the middle of this storm. I praise God in the middle of this storm. And then he said, if you do that, if you pray like that, then the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to guard your heart and mind, just like it did Jesus in that boat. And you're going to get to the other side. Say, I'm going to go to the other side. But you get there quicker focusing on the Lord. Where's your focus? I said, where's your focus? I know you know where it's supposed to be, but where is it? Really? Because you're praying about a lot of other things and you're wanting God to work all these things out, but I'm telling you where the problem is between your ears. Where's your focus? And then going down in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are pure. Now, you know, verse 7 talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding and keeping your heart and mind. How can you keep the peace of God guarding your heart and mind like Jesus in the boat? That's what verse 8 talks about. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are not noble or honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate or dwell or think or focus on these things. Are you listening to me? Now see, if the doctor's report says cancer or heart disease or diabetes or something else, is that true? It's a fact, but what does the truth say? By His stripes I'm healed. If your bank account looks like it's going south for the winter, that may be a fact, but what is the truth? That my God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, and the same thing with your marriage, your relationship. It doesn't matter what it is. The bottom line is, guys, the question I want to ask you, where is your focus? Because your focus will determine what you receive from God. Are you listening to me? You can do this. You can let the gates close in your soul by focusing on the storm and the problem and the symptoms and the report, or it can go boom, or you can go shoop, boop, shoop. Which one do you want? Shoop. Praise God. You'll remember this message. Let me give you a verse that it verifies exactly what I'm saying, that actually I didn't see until this morning. Look at Psalm chapter 24. Chapter 24. Psalm 24 and verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You get this? Lift up your heads, O you gates. And lift up, what is it, rest of it? That's good, man. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory who's in you shall come in. And you can either, it's lifting up your head. In other words, get your focus on the Lord instead of your problem, all these other things, and it's zoop. Or you get your, head down. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I've been praying and I know God loves me, but I don't really think He does. And then boom. And we wonder why we're not receiving from God. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads. Get your focus off of your problems and the doors and the gates of your soul. And He's saying, look, you gates. He told you, you got gates, you got doors. You lift up your head, the gates, the doors will zoop, be opened up, and the King of glory who's already in you will come in. The answer will come. I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share this story. We were in a bad financial way lots of years ago. We were between pastoral assignments, and I had a consulting business, and it was feast or famine, okay? And we were in a famine time, and I'm praying, but I'm not praying Philippians 4. I'm anxious for everything, and I'm not thanking God for anything. Oh God, Where are you? You know, holding the scripture up, but my head wasn't lifted up. And so my everlasting doors and my gates were boom. And so, man, I needed to pay the rent. I'm 2 weeks behind. I'm trying to be a witness to my landlord, and I'm behind. And our cupboard is getting bare. And man, I mean, I'm sweating it, and man, God, what am I going to do? And so and now it's 2.5 weeks, and we go to church, and I want my pastor to be there. And some of you probably thinking the same thing today, but you know, it's like, oh man, I got to hear a word from God. I got to hear from God today, you know. Oh God, where are you? I mean, don't you know? Don't you care? We're perishing here, God. My head wasn't lifted up. My focus wasn't in the right place. And so now my pastor, he invited this woman preacher to speak. And I have no problem about women preachers, but I didn't know her. And I didn't know what, man, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear my pastor. And I was ticked, and now I was ticked on steroids. But when she got up, and I think I've shared this with you before, but it fits in here. So when she got up, she said, "Wait, I've got a word from God for someone today from 1 Timothy who's got a someone's going through financial problems. And I've got a word from God's word for you today, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And so I said, "Well, praise God." I mean, my countenance started to get lifted up for a minute. And then she said, "Here it is, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own..." "And especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I said, "Oh God." Man, she not only didn't bless me, now I'm feeling it's insult to injury. And now I'm feeling condemned. And then while I'm in the middle of feeling condemned, all of a sudden she said, "Wait a minute, stop. That's not the word." I said, "Confuse me? What is this?" No. She said, "That's not the word. Here's the word. God says..." He lives by this verse too. He said, "You are his own. He is your father. He's not an infidel, and he will take care of you." Wow. Did you ever read that out of there? Man, I said, "Really?" I didn't hear anything else she said. She said, "John," she said, "God says he is your father, you are his own, he's not an infidel, and he will take care of you." Now you remember I was worrying, I was fretting, I was, "Oh God," and I saw by my worry, by my fretting, by my attributing to God that he didn't care, I was attributing to him that he was an infidel. And man, right in the middle of that message, I repented, "God, forgive me." Man, I didn't hear another thing that she said. I got home and I told Janice, I said, "Just go to the cupboard and find something to fix the kids. Whatever's left, figure it out." And I'm going in the bedroom and I'm going to get this worked out. And I got in there. I had my gates and my doors were boop. They were slammed shut. And the King of Glory had nowhere to come in and no access. And I got that fixed. I got in his presence and I started worshiping God. I started skipping. I started jumping. I started leaping. I started praising. I said, "Soul, get your focus in the right place. My Father, he's my Father and I'm his own and he's not an infidel and he will take care of me." Amen. And man, I started praising, I started jumping, I started skipping. Man, about an hour and a half later, I came out of that room. Man, I was on Cloud nine. My focus, what was the difference? I had no more money in my hand or in the bank account, but my focus was different. I'd lifted up my head, the everlasting doors and the gates of my soul were boop rather than shoop. And man, I got in there until it was shoop, shoop. Man, those doors were open and I came out of there. Man, I was high. I was on the most high. And that was Sunday. It was on Wednesday. We got two huge checks that were enough and extra. Are you listening to me? Look, guys, this doesn't just happen for preachers. I was working. I was between assignments. This works for you. Where is your focus? Where's your focus? Are you listening to me? Read it again. Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. He shall come in. He's your Father. You're His own. He's not an infidel. And He will take care of you. The issue is not your Father. The issue is your focus. Where's your focus? He said, He told you everything that's true, everything that's just, everything that's noble, everything that's lovely, everything that's of a good report, focus there. Where is your focus? If it doesn't line up with those things in Philippians 4:8, can I tell you, your head's not lifted up. It's not zoop for you, it's boop. Hallelujah. This is good stuff, guys. Your soul is a magnifier. I've shared that with you before. Whatever your soul magnifies or focuses on will determine either the release, zoop, of whatever God has ordained for you or the binding up of that, boom. Which one is it for you? The children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, 10 spies, 12 spies, 10 of the spies, boom. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. Where was their focus? Their focus was on the giants. Their focus was on themselves. But the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, was zoop. We're well able. Why? Their focus was on God. Where is your focus? You're waiting on God to do something. God's waiting for your heads, O gates, to be lifted up. Amen? So the King of glory can come in and do what He's wanted to do all along. But you let people or circumstances or a doctor's report or a banker's report or something else. Listen, guys, no one can stop you but you. The key is, whose perspective are you viewing your life and your circumstances through? Amen? Now, look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And then we're just going to look at two or three other verses. And I do have the airport in sight, but we're not landing yet. I just have it in sight. Depends on your focus. I tell you what, man, when he just gave me that verse from Psalm 20. Have you ever seen that? Man, I'm still jumping up and down over that one. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Man, I could just camp out on Psalm 24. Then Isaiah 26. Wow. Well, look at verse 1. In that day the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for the walls and bulwarks. Open the gates. Open the gates. Did you see that? I didn't even know that was there. Open the gates that the righteous nation will keep the truth that will enter in. And then look at verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the problems, on the doctor's report, on the situation, on the calendar, on the clock. Is that what it says? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on who? On the Lord, because he trusts in you. Wow. Listen, guys, where's your focus? Who's your mind stayed on? What are you thinking all the time? That affects whether the gates and the everlasting doors in your soul are open or closed. And it determines the degree to what you receive from the Lord. That's why he said, you're going to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If your soul's not prospering, boom. If it's prospering, zoom. If it's not prospering, boom. Are you getting the picture? The issue, the difference is you. Is where your focus is. Now look at Numbers 21. And I shared this verse with you a few weeks ago. But I want to emphasize a couple of things from this. And then we're going to do something special this morning. Numbers 21. And this is about the children of Israel. In verse 1, the king of Arad, the Canaanite, dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming, and then fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you'll indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I'll utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was Hormah. So did God help them? Did he deliver them? Did he come through for them? Now the next verse, the very next verse. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul, everybody say the soul. The soul of the people became very discouraged. The King James says, because of the way. Boom. Man, just the verses before, it was zoop. Now it's boop. The soul of the people became very discouraged because they got their focus on the way rather than the maker of the way. Look, I know people can be jerks and people can do, Christians even. Listen, you think those are angel wings on those Christians? That's shoulder blades. And there's nobody high and lifted up except Jesus. You need to get your eyes and your focus off of what men have done, what people have done, all the hypocrites. Okay, now let's just, you guys help me here. Michael, come here. Come here, Michael, and then Robert, come here. All right. All right. Now let's say you're going to be the Lord. Stand right here. All right. All right. Okay, come here, Robert. All right. Now... All right, Michael's the Lord, and Robert's the hypocrite. Okay. How many of you ever met one? Hypocrite. How many of you ever been one? Okay, listen. Okay. Whatever, whoever stands between you and the Lord, even the hypocrite, is closer to God than you are. So if I'm going to have my, I don't care what he's done, what he's said, whether he treats up people right or not, okay, maybe he's an elder, maybe he's, I don't know what he is, but in my mind he's a hypocrite, okay? But I am not, see, the Lord's trying to coax me to get my focus off of the pink tie man, hypocrite, and get my focus on Him. Are you listening to me? But wherever your focus is, if your focus is on the hypocrite, it's going to go, the gates are going to go boop. And my focus is, oh man, everybody in church does this, and every church I've been to, they don't really care about people, and da 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 da, and all this stuff, boop. And all the time, the Lord's wanting to go shoop. It's either boop or shoop. Amen? And which one do you want? Lift your heads up, oh you gates. Get your focus off the hypocrite. Get your focus off the problem. Get your focus off of the report. And get your focus off of the way, and get your focus on the maker of the way. Amen? Good job, guys. Thank you. Where is your focus? Where's your focus today? Man, this is powerful. God, I don't know if He's blessing you like He's blessing me while I'm preaching this. This is awesome. This is awesome. If we'll spend our spiritual energy seeing to it that our soul prospers by focusing on the Lord, God's going to make sure our way prospers. But now look at this. They got discouraged. They got their focus in the wrong place. All right. I could really stop right now and start meddling. But God sent me here with a word to tell you how to get free. And it has to do with where your attitude is, where your focus is, where your mindset is. It's not what you've been focusing on. Okay, I'm not saying the hypocrite doesn't exist. I'm not saying the diagnosis doesn't exist. I'm not saying the financial problem doesn't exist. But the real problem is that you got the gates and the doors of your soul shut, so the King of Glory has no access in. You've got your focus on the problems in the way rather than the maker of the way. Here's what I know. I don't know how He's going to do this for you, because there's some of you that are in a major storm right now. You're in a major challenge. The Lord Himself, I mean, I'm feeling this and sensing this. The Lord Himself, He's touched with the feeling of your infirmity. He more than cares. He's going to deliver you. I said He's going to deliver you. I don't know how, but let me tell you the means by which He's going to do it. It's you getting your focus off of the thing that you can't control or you haven't been able to move, and you get your focus back on Him, and you lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of Glory will make a way, and he will come in, and you will have a testimony, and you will come back and say, thank you, Pastor Greg. Now I'm just about ready to land. But it would be hazardous to your health if you disembarked at this moment. But look at their response after they allowed their soul to get discouraged. And then verse 5 of Numbers 21. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. See, that's what you start complaining to God, and then you start complaining about your leaders. You're playing the blame game. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water. See, look, guys, their focus is the wrong place. And our soul loathes this worthless bread. Oh, my God. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people, now don't get upset at God right there, okay? Jesus hadn't died on a cross yet. All right? So you, look, here, when you get to heaven, there's going to be, you're going to be doing a whole lot of this. Oh, you were good. You were right. You were fair. You might as well just agree with it now. Okay? What you don't understand in your peanut brain, let God roast your peanut and just declare. Everybody say, God is good. God is right. God is fair. Even though life always isn't. And so when it isn't, when life doesn't line up with your theology or your understanding of God, you need to lift up your head, O you gates, and get your focus in the right place. Therefore, the people, them now, they're now, verse 7, they finally, they're in a good place now. They finally repent. Then the people, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord, he'll take away the serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall be everyone who is bitten when he looks. Everybody say, when he looks. Yes. When he looks at it, shall live. Now, here's what this word look means. When it said he shall look, he that looks, it means to behold, to inspect, to perceive, and consider. He said, now everyone who's bitten, and that could just mean anybody that's been bitten by life, when you look, when you behold, when you inspect, when you perceive and consider, you will live. Now, hold your place right there and look at John chapter 3, verse 14. What did God tell Moses to put up on that pole? A fiery serpent. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. Find it in your own Bibles. John 3, 14. As Moses lifted up what? And what did Moses tell them to do with the serpent? To look, to consider, to inspect, to behold, to perceive. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, who? The Son of Man shall be lifted up. You know who that was a type of on that pole? That was Jesus, who took the sin of the world on him. And you know what he's saying? When you're going through a hard time, when you're going through tough stuff, when life is giving you a bitter pill, when it looks like you're praying and believing God for food or money or housing or cars or girlfriends or boyfriends or husbands or wives or whatever it is, healing or whatever, and it looks like it's not happening, don't complain about God. Don't complain about your spiritual leader. Look, inspect, consider the cross and what Jesus has accomplished for you there, because that will cause your gates to stay open so the King of Glory can come in and provide for you everything that the cross already provided for you. I've shared this with you before also, but let me just, we've landed, but we're not at the terminal yet. So I'm going to share with you a story, and then I'm going to ask them to play a song where we can do this, where we can simply say, the stuff I don't understand, Lord, the bitter pill of life, the thing I've prayed for and it seems to be so long, I'm not going to allow the gates of my soul to go boomp over it. I'm not going to get my focus on men. I'm not going to get my focus on people. I'm not going to get my focus on the thing that looks like on my poverty or my present state of poverty. Let me tell you something. I'm speaking this from heaven to you today. There is someone here today that is in extreme poverty. You don't even know where you're going to get your next meal. Thank God for a church that's helping to provide that. But you've been downcast. It looks like you've been lots of jobs that you've lost. But the Lord's going to turn this. If you get your focus of your soul right, the Lord's going to turn this situation around for you. And you, sir, are going to become a very successful businessman. You, ma'am, are going to become a very successful businesswoman who will provide jobs for people who are in the condition that you are today. No, I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you what God's downloading to me, your potential is. That's real. That's what He has for you. The problem is your focus is the wrong place. I was healed of cancer in 1977. 6 years later, I was at a water park with my kids. One of my sons came down a water slide and with his knee hit my neck where this growth had been before in my neck that they took out that said was cancer. It became hard as a knot. And I've shared this with you before, but some of you weren't here. It became hard as a knot, not just for a day or not just for two, but for one week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, almost 3 months. And we go to a camp meeting, and I just made a decision. I'd learned some things now. This fact of this hard knot doesn't negate what Jesus did on the cross. And I'm focusing on the cross more than I am this thing that's trying to tell me you got cancer again. And I mean, every time I walk by, every time I'd see it, I just look back to the cross. Jesus, what you took stripes on your back. So this is, I'm not praying to get healed. I'm commanding this to leave my body. You got to get in line. You can't stay here. And I kept my focus on the Lord, and we got in the presence of God for about 20 or 30 minutes singing this song, The Glory Is Here. I sang it here a month or so ago. Y'all remember that? Okay. And I mean, after about 20 or 30 minutes, I mean, it was like the power of God was so strong. I reached up to touch, I don't know what I was, reached up, to, and this was gone. It was gone. I said it was gone. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but the Lord does. And no matter what you're going through, the way, the circumstances, the problem is not greater than the maker of the way. And I want to ask you guys, could you go ahead, Richard, and cue this up? And I just want you to focus on the Lord as we just worship God with this song. Amen?
The stone was rolled away. His perfect love.
Rushing in to that area of your life as you're focusing on Him. As you're focusing on Him. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Forever He is glorified. Forever He
is being healed in Jesus' name, because you've allowed the King of Glory, you've lifted up your heads, you've opened up the gates. It's not boom for you, it's shoop shoop. Amen. The King of Glory is coming in. There are tumors that are dissolving right now. Breast cancer is being healed in the name of Jesus. All kinds of urinary tract problems and infections are being healed. Endometriosis is being healed. All kinds of renal problems and kidney problems are being healed. The healer is in the house. You've just let Him come in now. The healer's in the house. I said the healer's in the house. So God's doing miracles right now in the financial arena. He's arranging a new job for some of you, increases for others of you. Some of you need a miracle, and financial miracles are being released in the house. Let's sing that. Let's keep focused.
Man is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
This is the kingdom of God being made manifest in our mortal bodies. This is that we're practicing what I had to practice at home. We're practicing, we're demonstrating what it means to just get our focus on Him. And God, listen, if we keep our focus on Him, you don't have a problem. I said, you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. Because the greater one on the inside of you is greater than your problem. I release freedom to you today. Someone is struggling with pornography, and I'm telling you today is your day of freedom. Others of you are struggling with habits that you've just been condemning yourself. I'm telling you, your problem is not your problem. Your problem is you've been focusing on your problem. You need to get your eyes on the maker of the way instead of the way. And God's going to make a way for you. Amen. Man, the Lord's love is so strong here today. He cares about you. He loves you. He's taking care of it. If you let Him care for it, He's taking care of it. Sir, this tall man in the green shirt with a mustache right there, lift your hand, sir. Okay, let me tell you something. God's so pleased with your life. His hand is on your life and on your family. And the dream hasn't come to pass the way that you thought. But I'm telling you, God will yet bring it to pass. You get your focus on Him and off of the disappointment, off of the delays. And God's going to yet bring the answer to your prayers, sir. You're a prince in the kingdom of God. You're a leader in the kingdom of God. And God's going to use you, sir, to influence many, but you've got to keep your eyes on Him. His pleasure is over your life, and you watch and see, yet God will yet bring to pass what He's put in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.